This week, the DeCamp celebrated 64 years of marital bliss. Amen. And I say that because on the very same day, I celebrated my 18th spiritual birthday. 18 years of being saved, anchored to Jesus, the anchor of hope. Amen. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Amen. Oh my. Our message title this morning is The Importance of Forgiveness. There are many sins that can overtake and overwhelm a believer, a married couple, a family, a church, and so on and so on before they really know it. There are, of course, the sins of the flesh found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, and we don't have to go down through the entire list, but many of you know them. And they're manifest, the Bible says. The sins of the flesh are manifest. They're obvious, amen. We know that there's the sin of drunkenness and reveling and adultery and all those terrible sins that can overtake. But you know, in our most recent series that we did on Sunday mornings, we talked about the sins of the heart that are not so obvious. Amen. We talked about pride and bitterness and discontentment. Amen. But may I say this, the sin, the little fox, as Song of Solomon 2:15 calls it, that I believe that snaps more wedding bands and ruins more relationships, bitters more children up against their parents, and splits more churches, is the sin of unforgiveness. The sin of an unforgiving spirit. You say, Pastor, I didn't know that it was a sin to have an unforgiving spirit. Well, listen, let me, for the next 30 minutes, let me show you what God has to say about an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit is something that God is not pleased with. Just like He's not pleased with the drunkard, and all God's people said. Just like He's not pleased with that person who is committing the sins of the flesh. I promise you, there's a sin that grieves God. It is the sin of an unforgiving spirit. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 20, we see in the context, we see spiritual restoration. Many of us would know our Bibles talk about church discipline here. But I'll tell you what church discipline is always about. It's to restore a fallen brother or sister. Always the goal. It says right there in verse 15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between him and thee alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." That's the first way you deal with an offending brother. You go to them, and if they come and they ask for your forgiveness, that's it. That's the end of the story. You say, why? Because the circle of correction should never go beyond the circle of offense. But God says if they won't hear you, and goes on, take two or three. And if they still won't hear you, you take it to the church. But the goal is always restoration. So we see spiritual restoration there. But in verse 21, we see what I call, in quotation marks, Brother Kelly, a spiritual question. The rabbis had taught that if a person offended you once, you should forgive them. If a person offended you twice, you could forgive them. And if a person offended you three times, you had no basis for forgiveness. So Peter came, polished his halo, like a lot of us would. And he said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother forgive me? Till seven times?" And he probably thought, boy, that's a real spiritual answer. Amen, Miss Caroline. A spiritual question there. Hey, seven times, Lord, that'd be good. But Jesus proceeds with a spiritual explanation. And he says in verse number 22, "Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Brother Becker, I've been pastoring now several years, been a Christian for 18 years. I don't think I have ever had somebody wrong me 490 times in one day. If they did, I think I would flee screaming. Amen. And all God's people said. Jesus here gives us the explanation. I'm just going to go right down the text this morning. First of all, I want you to know that he gives this parable. And a parable is simply this. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus teaches this parable about forgiveness. And the first thing we see in verses 23 and 24, I want you to notice, number one, the deep debt. Look at the deep debt. Verse 23 and 24, it says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents." Now this is where sometimes if you read your Bible and you're not familiar with customs, you just read past that and you say, boy, okay, he owed him a lot. Listen, folks, the entire tax bill to Rome for all of Palestine was 800 talents. Just, you know, we talk about, we have the debt calculator here in America, and all it does is keep going up and up and up and up and up. Just imagine that times 10. And here, by the way, I have no idea, and neither does anybody else, how a servant could ring up such a debt. But he owed 10,000 talents. If it was silver talents, it would have been $3,840,000,000. Okay? If it was gold talents, it would have been $57,760,000,000. Okay, can we say this, folks? I don't know about you. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we get ourselves in debt. You get a mortgage or you get in credit card debt. It's such a relief to get out of it, and all God's people said. That's why you have mortgage burnings and all that, and amen to that. But I want to tell you something. This man was never getting out of that debt. The entire tax bill of Palestine, 800 talents. This man owed 10,000 talents, the deep debt. I want you to notice number two, the just judgment. Not only the deep debt, but the just judgment. Verse 25 says, "But for as much as he had not to pay," no kidding, amen, "his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made." Because he did, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's still right to pay your debts. I know the government doesn't have to, but the rest of us have to live within a budget. Amen. Still right. Still a Christian thing to pay your debts. I remember my pastor, when his second daughter was born, they had no money. He was pastoring and literally sweeping parking lots as he pastored to plant a church. And he went to the hospital, there was the financial office, and talked to them. He said, "I will give you $25 a week for the rest of my life until that debt is paid." And he paid it for 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years. He would pay what he could, when he could. And finally the hospital just came and said, "Forget it. It's okay. We're all set." But you know what? He thought it was important to pay that debt. And so the just judgment at the time, Bible times, was this. You can't pay the debt, you'll be sold into slavery. Number three, I want you to notice not only the deep debt, the just judgment, but notice the repentant request. Verse 26. "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.'" Can you hear the crack in his voice? Can you see the tears in his eyes as he is about to be sold into slavery? And I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, so I'll stay over here. Perhaps he got sold one way and his wife and children another way. And he falls down at his knees and he worships this man and he says, "Lord, have patience with me, please, please, and I'll pay it all." Now listen, I know he meant well. But he couldn't have paid that. You know why? You know how you know? He was not a lord. He was a servant. He worked for somebody. But you see that repentant request. And I love the fourth point. The compassionate cancellation. The compassionate cancellation. Look at verse 27. It says, "Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." It reminds me of, we looked just a few weeks back at the story of when Jacob and Esau met after 20 years. Remember that? And they met, and Jacob came to Esau with basically what amounted to a peace offering. Amen. He gave him all the herds and flocks and all that. He said, "I want you to take them all." And Brother Leonard, I think he had his head bowed and kind of thinking. And you know what Esau said? He said, "I've got enough. I've got enough." Do you know what this man said? "Look, I know you don't have to pay. I don't want to break up your family, and don't worry about it. Don't worry about the debt. Forget it. My gift to you." Folks, I don't know about you. I don't know how you would have reacted, but I would have gone out of there singing Oklahoma. Okay? "Everything's going my way. Woo!" I mean, the debt of Palestine times what, I can't do the math in my head right now, but it's a lot. Something he could have never paid off. But you know what you see next? You see the incredulous ingratitude. The word incredulous means unbelievable. So here he is, forgiven of a debt of 10,000 talents. And then you see, look at verse 28. It says, "But the same servant went out." The one that was forgiven went out. "Found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him." Now, if that was you and me, we would have laid hands on him and said, "You're not going to believe this. I've just been forgiven of 10,000 talents." But he didn't do that. He laid hands on him, grabbed him, and the Bible says, look, it says he took him by the throat and said, "Pay me what you owe me." And he owed him 100 pence. You know what that is? Brother Matt, $3,200. Not a small debt. Okay? I think if you loaned that to somebody, you could certainly ask for it. Amen. But after you'd been forgiven of a debt of 10,000 talents, seems to me you wouldn't care about a guy that owed you 100 pence. Incredulous ingratitude. By the way, can I give you a little maxim to write in your Bible, maybe in the margin, maybe on your notes? Gratitude will always improve your attitude. Gratitude will always improve your attitude. You get grateful to God, you get grateful to your parents, you get grateful for what God has done in your life, it will improve your attitude. The incredulous ingratitude. Number 6. We see the similar situation. Look at verse 29. It says, "And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.'" Now listen, if you go back to verse 26, it says, "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all.'" They said the exact same thing. The only difference was, Brother Kraft, this second servant could have certainly paid the debt back. The first servant never could have. But you know what we see next? We see the amazing amnesia in verse 30. It says, "And he would not." Apparently, this man, and then if you continue to read verse 30, it says, "But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt." Apparently, this man had been, at some point, struck on the head. because he had forgotten, apparently, Brother Howard, that he had been forgiven of a debt that he could never pay back and didn't have to go to prison. But now he sends this man who owes him $3,200 to prison till the debt is paid. Amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Amazing amnesia. Forgot all about that. Next, look, we see the pitiless punishment in verse 30. It said, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Pitiless. Absolutely devoid of pity. But then we see in verse 31, the sorry servants. It says, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And by the way, you and I would have been sorry too if we'd have seen that unfold. We would have been grieved in our hearts and spirit. Here's this man that's been forgiven of a debt that he could never pay back. And he walks up to this one and he grabs him by the throat in complete unforgiveness and says, pay me what you owe or you're going to prison. He said, I don't have it. Just have patience with me, just like the Lord had patience with you. And he cast him into prison. Pitiless punishment. Sorry servants. And then we see in verse 32, we see the righteous rebuke. The righteous rebuke. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, now hold on to yourselves, folks. O thou, what's the next word? Wicked servant. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. He said this. You asked me, and I forgave you. That's all. You fell down and worshipped and asked me, and I said, forget it. You don't have to pay that back. It's fine. I've got plenty. And then we get to the quintessential question in verse 33. The quintessential question is this. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the answer to that question, ladies and gentlemen, is yes. He basically said to him, how on earth could you be forgiven of such a debt and then not be forgiving yourself? Amen? Then we see the livid Lord in verse 34. And his Lord was wroth. See, folks, the Bible says that we're the children of God. And what I mean is that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're a child of God. You may not feel it all the time, amen. The Bible says this in Galatians 3:26, for you're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. The day we received, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's John 1:12. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. Because they've got a sin debt piling up. But I want to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. There is something amongst believers that makes God angry. See, it says here that his Lord was wroth. Full of wrath. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the same thing that he classified this servant as a wicked servant. It's unforgiveness. It's an unforgiving spirit. It made the Lord livid. Then we see in verse 34 the terrible tormenting. It says, and the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. There's been a lot of speculation to this verse as to what that means. I don't think it means that a person goes to hell because he's unforgiven. But I will tell you this, the most tormented person in the room is the person that won't forgive. They just absolutely, all their life, are bitter and angry and unforgiving towards people that could care less whether they offended them, tormented. And then lastly, and we'll give you some applications this morning, see the parable's petition. What is the parable's petition? Verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you. What is that? Torment. Torment. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So what's the parable's petition? Forgive. Forgive. But pastor, you don't know. No, I don't. Forgive. Forgive. Had a lady. I preached out of the sister text to this one time at a Christmas banquet years ago while I was in Bible college. And I preached on this subject. She came to me at the end of the service, Mrs. Merrill, and she said, Brother Rich, I want to let you know I forgave my father today. And I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, sometimes the Word of God speaks to our hearts and tells us that we need to. She said, oh, you don't think you understand. She said, my father is in prison right now in the state of Michigan. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And of course, I thought it was perhaps an abuse situation, which is difficult to forgive. Not impossible. And I looked at her and she began to explain. She said, my father murdered my mother in front of me as a little girl. She said, I have carried that, and it has tormented me through the years and tormented me. And she said, I finally forgave him. Let me give you a few applications this morning. In the parable, the king represents Jesus. The Lord represents Jesus. The servant represents me and you. And the debt of 10,000 talents represents our sin debt. See, each one of us owes a debt that we could never pay. If we lived 1,000 lifetimes and were the best possible citizens that we could ever be, the best Christians we could ever be, we would never, never, never make it to heaven because the wages of sin is death. But the moment that we come to Christ and we ask Him, freely, we say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I can't get to heaven on my own. Please save me. He forgives our sin debt. You and I will never, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, we will never give account for one sin. Then He says this to us. Because you and I have been forgiven of a debt that we could never pay, who do we think we are not to forgive people when they offend us? Who do we think we are? Listen, I've been offended many times, been hurt, had people gut me, as it were. Listen, if I want to stay close to the Lord, I've got to forgive. If I don't want to be a tormented soul with a bitter countenance, I've got to forgive. There is no other option. I don't want to be a wicked servant, as he calls him here. Forgive. Forgive. I think of examples in the Scripture that we have. We have Esau, who forgave Jacob. We have Joseph, and if anybody had a right to have an unforgiving spirit, it was Joseph. Sold by his brothers, hated, sold into slavery, put in prison falsely. Everything that could have went wrong, but God meant it for good. And he saw his brothers, and Brother Hauser, he didn't look at those. When he saw his brothers, he didn't say, oh, I got them now. Here they are, begging for food, just like I knew that. You know what? The Bible says that his bowels yearned within himself. He went into another room and he wept because he loved his brothers. Think about Moses. Miriam and Aaron came and said, "Hath the Lord spoken only by Moses?" And all of a sudden Miriam got leprosy, right? Just turned as white as snow. And Moses forgave her and prayed for her, and she was healed. I think of the great deacon. God bless deacons. Amen. But that great deacon, Stephen, as there he was on the being stoned to death, and he said, "Lay not this sin at their charge." Did not our Lord himself, while he was on the cross, say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Those are some examples. What's the extension? Verse 21 says, "Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? Shall I forgive him? Till 7 times? And the Lord said, until 70 times 7. Jesus here says 490 times. Does he really mean 490 times exactly? You wives are thinking right now, you know what? My husband's offended me 489 times. And this 490th time, I'm grabbing my broom and I'm smacking him. This is what he said. There's a sister verse in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm wrapping it up. It says, "And be ye kind one to another." You know what unforgiveness goes with? It goes right along with unkindness. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13 says this, "And if any have a quarrel against any, forgive." So what's the extension? Forgiveness is supposed to be unlimited. Because it's unlimited with God. How do you know? Because He forgave me of my sin debt. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt He did not owe when He washed my sins away. The exhortation is this: forgive others as God forgives you, to maintain a relationship with Him. In Matthew chapter 6, just a few chapters back, verses 14 and 15, the Scriptures read, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now don't misread that. Don't think, well, if I don't forgive, I'm not saved anymore. No, no, you're saved. But you'll not have any relationship with your Father. You'll not have any relationship. He's like, "Look, you want to live in unforgiveness? I'll let you." He said, "But I sure did forgive you of an awful lot." The importance of, if you can get forgiveness down in your life, if you can get forgiveness down, you will keep yourself from offense. You will, I promise you, you will live a better Christian life than most. See, the problem with most of us is, we're not even like Peter at 7. We're not even like the rabbis at 2. We're at, "You cross me once and we're done." Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. That's not Christian. That's not Christian. The importance of forgiveness. The importance of forgiveness. The deep debt, the just judgment, the repentant request, compassionate cancellation, incredulous ingratitude, similar situation, amazing amnesia, pitiless punishment, sorry servants, righteous rebuke, quintessential question, livid Lord, terrible tormenting, parables petition. "Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant as I had pity on thee?" The answer to that is yes, ladies and gentlemen. Father,